Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch, for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.
Welcome to another Late Lunch Leftovers podcast, where this week we found out all about whitening your teeth with Mark Hepworth from Abbey Dental. We had another mindful practice from Mike Cooley, and also on Wednesday we were joined by Donna Whaley from Parasize, who had us doing some simple exercises in the studio on air, as you do. Also, the Morrigidooney Challenge had me rather confused with a scutch of different Neds. Is it Kenyuk, Kelly, Madrill? And we started the week by paying a visit to Georgie Revel up in Bride in the wonderful cook shack, where she had us making a quiche.
We're live, baby. We might try and get a bit of the B-52s in before the end of the show, I think. I think that might have to be done.
So we are making a quiche. We are making this.
I've washed just my hands in readiness, yeah. So I might put the mic down so I can help.
Excellent. We will need your help, you know, Christy. Okay. So today what we've got here is we've got, actually these are from the co-op and they're rather divine. They're lightly smoked salmon fillets and I've cooked them for about 15 minutes and look at them, they're just flaking apart.
Wow.
So good for you. So we're just going to scatter those. I know you really want this on your hands, don't you, darling?
I do.
So let's just scatter them along. We've also got some patties, delicious smoked salmon, and we're going to get Liz to just chop that up a little bit.
Hi Liz.
Thank you so much. And we're going to put some shallots I've cut in and some garlic.
Are you going to put in a shallot of them?
A shallot of them. And look at this. These are, this is asparagus, Manx asparagus, McNeil, Upper Jerby, first of the Manx asparagus from Robinson's, available from Robinson's. And these have been blanched in boiling water for a minute and then plunged into ice cold water.
Plunged.
And see, it retains the colour and the vitamins, and then you can just, you know, do this.
Do I need more salmon, or is that enough? Should I put a bit
you
more
could
on
put,
the
You
edge?
Could put a little bit. And then we're going to put the slightly smoked salmon around it too, just a little bit.
And it's a special day for asparagus as well,
it
I understand.
It is National Asparagus Day, Beth. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do I mention the fact that if you eat asparagus, quite often you know about it a little later on?
Yeah, it does. It does change the smell of your wee somewhat, I think. But you know what? It's all good. I think it probably is removing toxins, or you like to think that's the reason, don't you?
So once you've done this, how long will it need to be cooked for?
So we will cook this. As you can see, I have not blind baked the pastry. Because we've got an agar, we can just put everything into the pastry straight onto the bottom of the oven and there'll be no soggy bottom.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Does blind baking it mean you'd have done it with a blindfold on?
Without looking.
Well, I don't know where that word came from, but no, I would have put some parchment in the pastry, put some heavy beads, ceramic beads or something to weight it down, or some beans, and then I would have put it in the oven for 10 minutes and then brought it out and removed the parchment. It just gives the pastry a crisp layer so that you don't get the soggy bottom, but with the agar, anything is possible.
We don't worry about soggy bottoms here.
So we want the salmon, do we?
We're going to put some of the salmon and the shallots and garlic, and we've got some beautiful tarragon here from Starvey Farms, our very own island, Starvey Farms.
Isn't it incredible what we can get over here?
We can get everything here, and my business wouldn't be what it is without the help of so many other local businesses like Robinson's, like WE Tears in Ramsey, who Mark and his colleagues, they come in here and they put meat in the fridge. And, you know, apple orphanage juices. We've got beautiful apple orphanage juices that we use here. Laxi flour delivered to me. It's just an amazing island. I'm never, ever leaving.
As well.
All
you
homegrown.
You grow your own stuff too?
We do. We do actually need to go and get some parsley and some chives from the garden.
Ooh.
So maybe if we've got a minute, we can do that.
What do
you reckon?
I do with this?
Right, so we're going to scatter those all around. You know, just scatter them around. We need to go and get some parsley, and we're going to put a bit of parsley, some chives, then we're going to mix up some Isle of Man creameries, double cream, with some creme fraiche, and we're going to put some eggs in it, lovely eggs from Balakai Farm, just Willie Christian,
nice.
Just down the road. We're going to use 4 whole eggs, and we're going to use 2 egg yolks.
Amazing.
Shove it in the oven, and...
And there's my tea. Uncle.
The Nation Station. Radio.
So
So I mentioned we have had a question in from Kath, and thank you very much for getting in touch, Kath. And Donna, she wants to know, I've recently had breast cancer and had a mastectomy in January. I'm frustrated as was extremely active, used to work out at least once a day, boot camps, Zumba, yoga and weights. Is Parasize something I could do or will it be too slow? And she adds that she's only 47 and she's not sure if Parasize is actually something that's just meant for older people.
No, it's not. There's people of all different ages, people from their 20s all the way up to their late 80s, so it is a real cross section. And the great thing with it is you can work at your own level, so you can take it up or down. So for Kath, if she could manage a little bit more, then absolutely fine. Best thing I would suggest is coming to try the class. If you've got any questions like that, if you're unsure, first class for everyone is free of charge, so it's just a case of coming along, see what you think, and until you try it, it's hard to imagine what it's going to be like. That's obviously a very short example, but when you come and hear the soundtrack and everything together, it's a great session, so it'd be lovely to see her there.
And do you have a split between men and women in your classes?
Predominantly female at the moment, which would be great to try and get more men involved. I had one man this morning in Port Erin, for example, but it would be great to get more men involved.
And Joanne's been in touch to ask, do you have a class in Ramsey?
That's the one I'm working on at the moment. We've covered pretty much the rest of the island. So we've got Douglas, Onchan, Braddon, Peel, Port Erin. And we've also recently brought in an evening class on a Tuesday night. So I'm looking at Laxey or Ramsey for the next one. Just need to create another day in the week.
And you've got, I think, a special event coming up in May, on May the 21st, is it?
Yeah, so on the 21st of May, we've got a charity, Parasize, open to all, and it's to raise funds and awareness for Huntington's disease charity, Isle of Man. I came into contact with this charity from Helen Martin, one of my Parasize clients who comes to my evening class. Someone very close to her has Huntington's, so we've kind of got together and decided to hold this event on the 21st.
Wonderful. Well, you can find all details about that on Donna's Parasize page, Parasize with Donna, if you just search on Facebook. Her number 492132, and we'll put all the links on the Late Lunch blog. But thank you very much. I feel good, actually.
I feel lighter.
Yeah.
So lighter physically, and then, as we said, you know, when Mike was in last time, floaty light after you do the mindfulness.
It's just so good. I love Wednesdays. Donna, great to see you. You will be back with us next month, and you know, keep it, you know, let's work on those arms. Yeah.
Okay. The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
We're talking mindfulness now. We've got Mike Hewley with us again for our midweek mindfulness. And we're going to be talking all about what you referred to in your podcast, which, of course, will be available after the programme. We'll post that. Worth subscribing to, so you get the notifications that this podcast, when the new ones are released. And we're getting fantastic feedback on these podcasts from people who are listening every single week to hear these little nuggets of wisdom. But on the show itself, always great to chat about the practice itself and what it means. And as we were saying just at the top of the show there, Mike, mindfulness is something that can be so useful. We'd think of it more about the mind, but what you're talking about today is actually the body.
Yeah. So one way maybe to think about mindfulness is, you know, as long as we're alive, we have sensory experience. And that's thoughts, that's sensations, emotions, good, bad and ugly. Mindfulness acts as a kind of operating system for sensory experience. So it makes good sense, you know, if all we're going to experience is sensory content, it's basic sense to know how to work with that, because it's all you're going to experience. And we often don't. We don't know how to be with thoughts. We don't know how to be with sensations, emotions. So mindfulness is a way to kind of work with all that content. And of course, the body is, you know, that's where all that stuff lives, emotions, sensations. And sometimes the body is a place of rest and it's home and it's clear and it's, you know, a nice place to tune into. But often it's hell as well. So it's, how do we work with that? How can we be in hell? How can we be with the body when it's in discomfort? And how can we really tune in and soak up what's good about the body when it feels nice or at rest or peaceful?
That's a really big question. Can you tell us how?
Yes, with practice. But it's based upon our attention and focusing into the body. And so I've just finished a course on pain last night. And actually, many of us, it's rare to experience pain. What I mean is you don't just experience pain by itself. Because if you just experienced pain, well, that's quite a clear sensation. We experience pain mixed with thoughts, mixed with dramas, mixed with reactions, mixed with emotion, mixed with what's going to happen to me when, etc., etc. So it's never just pain. If you experience just pain, like pure pain, that's a very mindful experience. It's usually mixed up with all this other content, which makes it much worse than it is. It exacerbates pain. So what we do in mindfulness is reduce down to the actual sensations themselves. You know, you quieten the mind, you drop off the emotional reaction, and suddenly you're able to really kind of almost hold in your hands painful sensations. And when you meet it in that way, often they will melt, relax, dissipate. Sometimes they will literally disappear, which may sound shocking, but these are common reports. The pain I have suddenly disappeared when I focused on it. And most of us spend our lives trying to run away from pain, get out of the body, escape, which is, yeah. But it's rare to be asked, well, what happens if you focus into the pain? And, you know, it takes some courage. You can practice it. But what often happens is quite shocking in the sense of I didn't know I had that much power.
The Nation Station, Max Ray.
But now we are going to talk about tooth whitening. This is a service that is available at Abbey Dental, and I had the very great pleasure of going down and experiencing some of this service, because you have to go and have some moulds done of your teeth.
You had the worst bits.
Yeah. What I had the worst what?
The worst bits when you do impressions.
Oh,
and
right,
all the impressions,
not the worst teeth.
No, not the worst teeth. I didn't say, you're obsessed with your teeth at the moment. Yeah.
I know. Well, it's because you have got a little bag with you, and you've got the impressions.
Let's do the reveal of what's in the bag.
Essentially, I'll just talk you through what happened. I went in, very lovely receptionist, took me through the little health thing that you have to go through that we talked about, the health history. Went through to Mark, he looked very professional in his coat and gloves and everything, and had a brief checkup. Everything was amazingly wonderful. And I'm just pulling Mark's...
What was it? He's
I'm pulling Mark's mic down there. And then you have to have this sort of stuff put in your mouth to, mm-hmm. to make the mould. And actually, it was fine. It wasn't remotely painful at all. You probably look a little
bit
stupid.
Well, Mark actually demonstrated it when he was in last time, didn't you?
That's right.
A mould done with the alginate, was
the
it
alginate.
Called?
Yeah, it's a mixture of gypsum and kind of seaweed. It's not gypsum and seaweed, but it's obviously extracted from those, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it so we get a nice, accurate... sort of model of your teeth, either in the pot. I was
you hold it up, we'll be able to show it to the camera as well. So he's got a bright pink container.
A bright pink
here.
One. That was probably so I could see it and not lose it.
So how long did it take once that process was done in the dental chair to getting the moulds made?
Right. Generally, the moulds themselves can be... There are different ways you can make the moulds. We can send the moulds off to the lab and we get them back that way. In yours, because we were in a bit of a rush to get yours and we wanted to make sure we got them back, so we made yours sort of in the surgery. So what we'll do... If I sometimes want to make a model of a patient's teeth, we'll cast them up and I can keep models that way. In your case, that's what we did, so we got them back. So we probably took the impressions and then the next day we'll have mixed up a sort of dental plaster. So it's not quite plaster of Paris. It's called dental stone. So it's a mixture of plaster of Paris and a plaster compound called Kafa D. So it just gives it a bit more strength. So we mix up the models, pour that into the models. They set in about half an hour to an hour. Carefully take them out, and then we have a model of your lower teeth and your upper teeth.
I just want to say that I'm currently holding your lower jaw.
That's it.
Ooh, that's really weird.
How bizarre.
If you hold the two together like that, you can imagine what food sees as it disappears down Beth's throat. So it's... That's the last thing that food would see as it goes. But anyway.
Bye-bye, food.
Yeah. So we have those models, if you like, are then placed on a... it's like a small vacuum cleaner almost, but it's called a pull-down machine. So it creates a vacuum. And then we have a plastic film, which is heated up. It melts. And as it goes soft and begins to melt, it's then pushed down and pulled down onto the model by the vacuum former. And that forms a really, really tight seal around your teeth. We can then take those models off.
And I remember saying last time you were with us, we were talking about molds, and you were saying it's actually quite a good idea to keep hold of that the mold itself.
Yeah, the models of your teeth. If you have any crown work done, we have no problem if a patient says to us, can I keep my models? So if you've had a crown or a veneer or a denture even. So yeah, by all means, keep your models because they're very handy. Because first of all, they're an accurate representation of your teeth today, or in your case, last week. So heaven forbid if you were to fall over and break one of your teeth. If you've got those models with you, the dentist can apply a putty to the back of that, and he can create a little a blank, another little mold, so I could then put that in your mouth and build up your tooth again, so it would be exactly the same shape and size as, you know, where you are now.
And you probably wouldn't make the bottom teeth as crooked.
I might not do now.
Okay. Right, so we've got these molds then. Yep. If you were going to go for whitening, first of all, how white can you go?
Right. That's kind of dependent on the stains and how stained your teeth are. Okay.
Right.
It's very difficult for a dentist. If Joe Bloggs walks in the surgery and he's got quite stained teeth and he says, I want to go from this colour to Ross from Friends white or toilet bowl white, you know, I would never say to a patient, yeah, I can do that, because I don't know how well he will react. There are actually certain shades of teeth. We have a shade guide which actually has kind of lots and lots of shades on it, sorry. But there's different colours. So there's like a grey tooth, there'll be a yellow tooth, an orange tooth, and then there's a kind of reddish tinge to teeth. Now, the grey shades are really difficult to whiten. So you can sometimes look at someone and you go, yep, that will get a really nice result with that. And they will whiten, but it takes ages. It's very, very slow. So it's not that the effects are unpredictable, but they're predictable. You don't know how quick it's going to be. Sometimes it's slowly, sometimes it's quick.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
We need to put the Maura Jadouni challenge to bed, I think.
We do.
We get set a challenge every Sunday morning by Simon Clark and Phil Gorn. It's a Manx-related challenge, obviously, given the nature of their programme. And they are trying to educate us in the way of Manxness. So this is the challenge that they set us this week.
Shul, shul and denyabach. Rai, rai and irinach. Liga, 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 denyasir. Chen tamia clash in a chen ven rain grey tread what bundres nelianuin. How was that?
Who is it? Why was he so important? And what was the rhyme that he read out there?
It was very kind that some people did get in touch to say that they thought they might be able to help us with this. So thank you very much to everybody so far who has been in touch to help with this. But we think we've got it.
Yes.
Okay,
we
go.
Do. Okay, so, and I'm going to do a special shout out to Simon, who actually heard this mentioned on Sunday. And I can say his name now because he did admit to it after I basically outed him on the radio. So Simon, who sent this in within minutes of it being aired on Maura Jadouni, said that he believes that it is Ned Madrill, the last native Manx speaker. And he sent me a bit of text. Shul, shul and dunnabocht, walk, walk the poor man. It's a children's rhyme, and the rest of it we think is run, run the farmer, gallop, gallop, gallop the gentleman. And then, as Phil said in the longer piece from Sunday, that after that Ned then says, that's what I heard the old women saying when they'd be nursing the infants. So as you said, we've had quite a few people message in with suggestions that it is him, that it is Ned Madrill, and we think that's it.
And the reason Ned Madrill was so important, because he was the only remaining person of that time who could claim to have spoken Manx Gaelic from childhood. So that is our answer. I really hope that we've done well this week.
Yeah.
So I think we've done well so far. So,
and
we kind of,
the lovely thing about it as well, like you said, that he was at that time. Now there's lots of children who have sort of restarted that and who have also been speaking Manx Gaelic since childhood, which is fantastic.
It really is.
Fairly tough one,
I think. It was tough. So I
must mention that I heard, I've listened to Late Lunch, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday of last week when they first played it to have listened to what the challenge was. And Christy goes, oh, yeah, that's Ned. Can you come? I really fell off my chair laughing. I was picturing Ned behind the horses. Get away with you.
Yes, well, it could have been Ned Kenyuk, but no, Ned Madrill. And yes, poor fella died in 1974. And at that stage, he was the last native speaker that was prepared to admit that he was a native speaker.
Oh, right.
We think there may have been others that had some Manx that lived a bit longer than Ned, but he was the last native speaker officially recorded as such. But by the time Ned died, actually, there were a lot more people learning Manx. So the low point for Manx was 1961, or the census in 1961, where I think there was only 161 people claimed to be Manx speakers back then. By 1971, the numbers had jumped by another 100 or so, and the revival in fortunes for the language had already begun. So yeah, Ned Madrill was the man. He was important because he was the last of the native Manx speakers, but also because he imparted so much knowledge to people. Loads of students went round. Our great friend, the great friend for this show, Brian Stoll, of course, learned a fair bit of Manx from Ned Madrill. Yeah, a really fantastic and important person for the language.
So that's... That's 2 points then. So they got Ned Madrill in
the
end. And they got that he was important because he was the last native speaker. So how did they get on with the rhyme?
Yeah, now I would drop a point for Bach, because it's not Bach, it's Bach. And you've just got to remember with Manx, the vowel sounds are always about four or five times longer than you might think.
Bach.
That's it. That's it. You're much closer there. So, but yeah, it was good. The translation was perfect. I think they did very well this week, even with a huge amount of help from one of our listeners.
Those are all our late lunch leftovers for this week. Do tune in for the main helping on Manx Radio weekdays just after 2 p.m.
Every week, of course, we'll have our regular features with Duxford Diaries. We'll have Mark Tiley's Greatest Hit, Midweek Mindfulness, and plenty more with our monthly guests as well.
But for now, thank you so much for listening to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast. We'll see you again next time.
Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch, for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.